Okay, so we're looking on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara that we skipped is what is Agadita, and I think Rabbi Mars likes to teach Agadita, so I'm not going to. Hatinokos, the Mishnah says that children, we'll have to see what age they are.
Pei
Beis. You have it, Pei Beis, on the top of the page. You can't miss it. Pei Beis. Hatinokos, Ein Ma'anin Osan, B'Yom Kippur. We know that on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah v'nisem of Inui, which is, expresses itself in the abstention from eating, drinking, and the other four categories that we discussed at great length last week. What about Tinokos? What about children? Again, hold on. In terms of your question of what age they are, I mean, obviously, we're going to have to talk about different age brackets, yeah. But the Mishnah establishes that we don't put them into a state of inui. In other words, the children, again, we'll leave out what age they are, but the children can live on Yom Kippur and experience Yom Kippur the same way they do any other day of the year. That's what it seems to say. And we'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says on the top, Ein chayavim limnoa mehem machal. How would you translate that, Rashi?
You're not chayv to stop putting
food. Well, how would you translate the word chayv? You're not what?
You're not obligated.
Obligated, exactly. You're not obligated to prevent them from eating.
Right.
Now, does Rashi allow you to... What would you say is if you were going to be meticulous about reading Rashi, and Rashi says there's no obligation to prevent them from eating, what's the implication of Rashi?
That he can eat all he wants to.
Okay, but who are we addressing? When we say Ein Chayovim, are we addressing the children themselves? Probably the parents, right?
You're not just stopping him food. You have to get
But again, the Rashi says they're not obligated. What does that imply? When you say to someone you're not obligated, what does that imply? You know, you have to use your thumb a little bit.
That
it's optional. If you would want to, there's not. You're allowed to prevent them from eating. That's the implication of Rashi.
Yeah, okay.
On the other hand, I just want to call to your attention, I have this Gemara that has, you don't have it, but has in the back. Not the Marsha, I'll tell you in just a minute. He's got something called the Tosis Yom HaKippurim. Okay, his name was Ibn Khabib. He was a Sfaradi. He lived many centuries ago. And he thinks that that's not so. He thinks that... That you're not allowed to even do this. It's prohibited.
Prohibited for what?
To prevent the children from eating.
Right.
In other words, Rashi is saying you're not obligated to prevent them from eating. He's saying that you're not even allowed to prevent them from eating. You have to feed them.
Yeah.
That's what he seems to say. We'll see how he derives his conclusion. I'm absolutely fascinated by this because it sounds like it would be almost unhealthy for the child to fast, and therefore it's unacceptable. Okay, so keep this in mind as we go through this. Okay, you don't have the Tosis Yom HaKippurim. You have to trust me on that you don't have it. Okay, then. Okay. So again, I'm just going to read to you what he says. He says, "Pirush Rashi she'ein chayovim limnoa mehem machal." Mashma midvarav. It would seem from Rashi, "Shemutul aniach lem lis'anos." If they, on their own initiative, would like to fast, we can allow them to do so. And the Mishnah is just saying that, just telling us that you're not obligated to prevent them from eating. But if they decide that they don't want to eat, but he says, if you look in the Rambam interprets our Mishnah. As listen to the language of the Rambam, chova limnoa mihem milahis anos. We have an obligation to prevent them from fasting.
That's the other way around. That's the other way around.
And the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, who was a Sfaradi, lived about 1,000 years ago. He takes a stab at this. He says, "Why does the Rambam prohibit you from allowing them to fast?" He says, "Afal pisha b'shar mitzvahs with regard to other mitzvahs, imrotzo lahakdim chinuch katan." What does lahakdim mean?
You want to make it earlier.
Correct. Even though the child is not ready, but you decide, you know, I'm going to make it earlier. Rashoy, you're allowed to do so. That's with regard to other mitzvahs. So, for example, let's say the child is 9 years old and he's not yet ready to put on talis and so forth. But I want to start him early. I want to jump start. So there's no prohibition against doing that. And therefore, you can do that. But kan eino rashoy lechancho beinui kodem lizman shekavu chachamim. You are not permitted to train him in the mitzvah of inui and yom kippur before the time that the chachamim have established. And in the footnote here, he quotes Rabbeinu Manoach, which is a Rishon that quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says, Hamonea miatinokos machol umishta afilu shah achas monea mimenu chesed vareu bichlal shofech domin. Oh my gosh. This is a very heavy language. So I just want to tell you, Rashi seems to say that educating your child on Yom Kippur is a matter of option. You know, it's optional.
Are we going to learn what the Gemara is?
Yeah, well, again, as I said a few times, I don't know if you're... I'm just giving you an introduction because you and I should be sensitive to this Rashi. Yeah. They all jump on this Rashi. Rashi implies that all the Mishnah is doing is it's alleviating the parents of the Chiyuv Chinuch to educate the child, but it doesn't prevent the parent if they so desire to do so. And sometimes you have these children that, you know, they want to be the big guy on the block. You know, we're going to fast on Yom Kippur. I don't know if you went through that experience, but I did. You know, I was already a big shot at the age of 10. You know, I was fasting. So according to this whole school of thought, that's not permissible at all. And the Yerushalmi seems to say that it's bechlal shfichas damim, meaning that the blood that's thinned out as a result of fasting, that's not acceptable.
If a kid asks for food and you say, no, wait a minute.
That, you don't have the option of doing that. You know, it's in Rashi's frame of reference, you might be, you know, in Rashi's perspective, you might be tempted to want to be mechanichim. You're not obligated to do so, but, you know, why not? You know, if the child is into it, then you're into it, let's start a little early. And you can do that with any other mitzvah. Rashi says you can do it here too. You're not chayev to prepare him for Yom Kippur, but you're allowed to do so. And now I'm showing you that there's a whole school of thought that disagrees with the Rambam. You weren't here last week, no. Steve and Jeremy, but what I tried to emphasize, and George and Amram know already my style, that my goal in teaching Torah, that's my particular, everyone has their own, quirks in life, you know. My goal is open-mindedness.
Right, okay.
Too many people read a text, and they read a Rashi, and they say, Sof Pasuk, that's the end of the verse, you know, finito, there's nothing to talk about, and it goes into the brain, and you get so stuck on something that you can't break out of the bounds. So my goal, as you'll soon see, is to try to, you know, give it a little bit more of...
Rob, last week, I want to copy it. And it ran from one posek to another posek to another posek.
We had issues on Yom Kippur. You're allowed to smelling salts and besamim. We had issues. We had issues even about the question. I mentioned it to you. The Gemara says that Ravi used to get these slav, that quail that fell near him. And he, it was miraculous, and he supplied him with good meat on a daily basis. But on the day that Rav Chisda, his Rebbe, died, the quail stopped coming. So Rashi says because the quail was only coming b'schus his Rebbe, he didn't have his own personal sphere. Right. And then we studied the Ibn Khabib, you know, the Tosefis Yom HaKippurim, and he had a whole different shot. Okay, we won't go into it. All right. So now the Mishnah says Aval. You have it. The last word in the first line is Aval. And if I could dance and sing on this word Aval, I would do so. Aval. I mean, this is really a major. When the Mishnah says Aval, the Mishnah is coming to completely throw you off. Yeah. You know, what you thought is correct, Aval is not correct at all. Aval mechanchin osan lifnei shana v'lifnei shnatayim. We'll soon see that although the language doesn't sound like it, but the Mefarshim are going to explain that Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnatayim means 2 years and 3 years. And we'll see why the Mishnah gives you two options. So we're talking about an 11-year-old, that's 2 years before his bar mitzvah in the case of a boy. Or we're talking about a girl at the age of 10, which is 2 years before she's bar mitzvah. That's called Shana. And Shnatayim, which means... in the case of a boy from the age of 10 which is 3 years before his bat mitzvah, or in the case of a girl, from the age of 9, which is 3 years before her bat mitzvah.
Wow.
Again, we're going to see why the Mishnah used the words, the language of shana shnatayim,
but it means this.
And what happens during that period of time, the 2 years or 3 years? Mechanchin osan. We do educate them, we train them. My high, we just made a big deal about the fact that we don't train them, and all of a sudden the Mishnah says, Avo, but, you know, you misunderstand that.
Mechanchin might not be fasting in the bed.
Oh. So is it fasting or is it not? That's going to be the main question here, George. Look at the first word in Rashi on the second line. And please, if you have your own Gemara, I would ask you to underline that word. Do you see the word?
Rishal.
Go slowly. We'll get to the end. I like to learn slow. That's my style. I'm not a genius. I like to do a thorough job. Rishalot. Now, Rashi is telling us something amazing. There are two categories of chinuch, of preparation for the children, that are fundamentally different from one from the other with regard to Yom HaKippur. One is the mitzvah of tainus. Tainus miloshen inu means to go the full 9 yards, as we say in America, meaning to fast until the end of the day, the full 24 hours and change. And then there's a different concept, Rashi says, of chinuch. It also comes under the general concept of chinuch, l'sha'ot. Sha'ot means for certain hours. Let's say, again, I'll give you an example. Let's say we tell the 11-year-old that tonight is Yom Kippur, don't eat. You know what? We're going to serve you breakfast tomorrow at 10 a.m. Usually he eats breakfast at 7 or 8 o'clock. We're going to postpone breakfast. That's called chinuch l'sha'ot. He's not going to complete the fast. But every hour that he can fast is considered some sort of halachic significance. And why? So now keep your finger on Rashi, but we're going to go back to the Mishnah. Okay, so we're on the third line of the Mishnah. But don't lose your place in Rashi, you promise me?
Okay.
Shahayu bishvil, I'm sorry, the last word in the second line. Bishvil sheyihu regilim b'mitzvos. Regila means they should begin to get used to it. It's an early stage. You know, it's not really chinuch. You know, real chinuch means to do the whole job. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah that you mechanech a child for talis, for example, not when he can put the talis on, but when he can do ituf. He can wrap himself in the talis. Well, for example, you mechanech a child in tefillin, not when he can wrap on the tefillin, but kshiyodeh lishmar as tefillin. He has to know how to be careful about the tefillin, the kedushas tefillin. Well, the Gemara says you mechanech a child in the midst of luav, when? Kshiyodeh linaneah. And by the way, my friends, nanuim is not an easy thing. You know, people shaking around. You look to the guy at the back, he's doing it one way. The guy he left is another guy in front of you is doing it all different way. I once tried to learn through Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Nanuim. I thought shofar was complicated until I saw nanuim. My gosh. There are like 18 different opinions about how to do nanuim. But in any event, you see that the chinuch for katan is to take him the full, till the goal line. But here we have a new concept that the Mishnah is revealing in front of us right here in Yuma, and that is kedei lahargilo b'mitzvos. It's not chinuch b'mitzvos in the technical sense. It's hergil. You know, a child can't wake up on his bar mitzvah day and all of a sudden he's going to fast the whole day on Yom Kippur. It's too tough. We've got to give it to him by drips and drabs. You know, tipin, tipin, we say in Hebrew. You know, let's get him into the shmum, get him into the telem, into the furrows. You know, he's got to learn step by step. Rashi says it means l'shals. It's a whole new concept, my friends. This is not classical chinuch. Chinuch classically means the child is able to do the whole mitzvah, nothing but the whole mitzvah. The truth and nothing but the truth, the whole truth, right? If here he's just giving him shawls, I mean, it's a little bit of a joke. I mean, what would you say if I buy my child on Sukkot since I can't afford an Esther Lusser? I'll buy him a lemon. I've seen people who do this.
Yeah,
they buy him a lemon.
That's right.
My friends, there's no such halacha. It's meaningless. In fact, I would even say it's antithetical, especially if the child makes a bracha on a lemon. Meaning, the halacha requires, chinuch is a serious business. You know, we think chinuch, I got my child, he sits next to me in synagogue, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'll give him this, I'll give him that, make him feel good, give him a couple of candies and have him daven a little bit. No, that's not chinuch. Chinuch is a technical halacha that's required on the parent. We'll have to see if it's the father, the mother, both, we have to sign, not pashut. But it means to do the mitzvah, not only in a way that the mitzvah is kshera, but in the way that it's a shlemus ha-mitzvah, it's a complete mitzvah. Less than that is not chinuch. You want to play games with me? You know, that's not chinuch. You know, you. But there's one exception, and that's the mitzvah of tainis. In the mitzvah of tainis, we break new ground. There's a new concept of chinuch. I don't know how to classify it. I don't know how to define it. But it's chinuch l'shalos. And it's not the real chinuch.
It's chinuch l'shalos, rabbi, right? So if you have, you said 3 years. It's 3 years and 2 years, right? So if you do 3-4 hours everything, right? So by the time you get our mitzvah, he's going to do the whole fast because he's going to be ready for the whole
good
fast.
That's what the Mishnah calls you regilah b'mitzvahs.
That's right.
But Amram, don't confuse that with the mitzvah of chinuch. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No,
I have no philosophical problem with your presentation, meaning you're 100% right. If the child does 4 hours, you know, he was 10, and then he does 6 hours, and this, that's not, but don't fool yourself. That's not chinuch. Nowhere in Shas, I'm telling you.
No, because
chinuch is
that he's going to be.
No, that's not what chinuch is. Chinuch means that now he's doing the mitzvah. In fact, I'll tell you another secret. The Rambam Shita is that the reason why a katan who's not bar mitzvah, who's in the parash of chinuch, can make a bracha, says the Rambam, is because under certain circumstances, he can do that mitzvah on your behalf. You're a gadol, he's a katan. How's that possible? We have a concept called the bar chiyuva, meaning only someone who's obligated can do the mitzvah by proxy on behalf of someone else. And the Rambam has, again, I don't want to get into it now, it's a complicated case of a child who ate a full meal and an adult only ate kizayis, and his chiyuv birkas hamazon is a little bit lower than a regular chiyuv of kibbutz. So I don't want, again, I don't want, Rabbi Moshe, if we get into that, we'll be here for a couple hours. But suffice it to say that the Rambam defines and classifies a child as a bar chiyuva. He can get up and recite, Asher kidshanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu. And that we're not going to play games with, to mention the name of God. You can't just do that in a bracha. That's otzah shem Hashem l'shah. Bracha batol is not acceptable. It's a severe violation. And if you do it deliberately. So how can we allow the child to make the bracha? The answer is that chinuch is a serious business. It may be derabbanan, it may not be doraisa, but Chanukah is derabbanan and Purim is derabbanan. We have many mitzvahs derabbanan, we take them pretty seriously.
Right.
And this mitzvah of chinuch should be taken seriously. And the Gemara, the sugya of chinuch is in Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis, and the Gemara establishes, based on a braisa, that chinuch means he can do the whole mitzvah. Nothing but. That's what I'm telling you. The Mishnah is formulating a brand new category. I don't know how to classify it yet. I'm very new in the sugya. You know, I'm learning it together with you. Maybe by tomorrow I'll be smarter. But today, I can only tell you that we're talking about a new concept, which is called what? Hergel b'mitzvos. You hear this? Not chinuch l'mitzvos, but hergel l'mitzvos. Let's be meticulous about the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about hergel l'mitzvos. I got to break you in. It's like in baseball, you know, you got to put the lineup pitchers in the bullpen. You know, he's doing his exercises because in case the coach decides, the manager, whoever it is, decides to get rid of this pitcher, so you got to be ready. You know, you got to be in shape. But it's purely exercise. It's like Sylvester Stallone, you know, preparing for the boxing match. You know what I mean? Oh, you didn't see Rocky. Okay, good. I only got to Rocky 1 and then I dropped out. Steve, you wanted to say something and you're very quiet today.
Until
I'm trying to get you involved, you know, because
until the bar mitzvah, then the child is not obligated in
correct.
The mitzvah anyway.
Correct. But he may be obligated in the mitzvah of chinuch when he gets a little bit more mature. The child.
So what is the mitzvah of chinuch exactly?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'll call it, to make life easy for ourselves, I'll call it a takonas chachamim. What's a takonas chachamim? For example, you and I have to light Chanukah on the 25th of Kislev. You and I have to go to hear Megillah on the 14th, or depending where you live, on the 15th of Adar. Correct? Why? That's called a takonas chachamim. The Torah in the Parsha that we read just 2 weeks ago invested powers and authorities in the Chachamim. It's called Lo Sosur Mikol Asher Yerucha. They have the authority to institute new mitzvos, injunctions, siyogos, fences around the Torah, etc., etc., etc. And that's the power that the Torah vested in the Chachamim. You and I can't do it. Steve, you're a big Talmud Chacham, but you can't do it. You don't have that power. You know who had the power? Sanhedrin Agdol, the highest court in Israel that sat outside the Beit HaMikdash in Lishkat HaGazit. They were members, 71 members of Smuchim who had smicha directly from Moshe Rabbeinu with an unbroken chain. Today I don't know if we have such a thing. And the Beit Yosef, Maran HaMachaber, he tried to do it in Sfat with a couple of Chachamim and they got into deep trouble. They couldn't be Machadish the smicha. We don't have Sanhedrin today. So if you and I today, we get together another, well, I mean, you and I are ready too, so all we need is another 69 scholars. So we'll invite another 69 scholars, and we got a bezin of 71, and we'll decide, you know what? On the 18th of El, we're going to have a celebration called Chayel, and we're going to make a whole Onik Shabbat here in the Yomik Learning. Yeah, and we'll make an institution, a Takonis Chachom. Yeah, the outside of this one and that will make a whole new thing. The Baba Sali died, so we got to make a whole new takana. You know, in Lubavitch they have special days during the year. Yad Kislev, 19, great stuff. But it's not a takanas chachom. Takanas chachomim under Lo Sosur comes from the special power invested in the authority of the greatest court in Israel, the 71 elders that sat on Sanhedrin Agdola. Now, amongst those various institutions and takanos that they made, one of the greatest of them all was called chinuch. And chinuch creates a new mitzvah, a mitzvah derabbanon. It's not superior. It's not inferior to Hanukkah or to the Purim or Erev Tavshilin or to any other derabbanons. To Trumas Yerakas or whatever. I'll give you 50 mitzvahs derabbanon, and that's chinuch. But please make note of it. You can write it down or memorize it. That the mitzvah of chinuch as takanas chachamim only applies when the child is capable of performing the mitzvah from A to Z, from soup to nuts, the whole ganze business. The whole package deal. Now we're learning a Mishnah with a whole new concept, but this Mishnah has to be understood within the context of the sugya of chinuch in Masechet Sukkah. See, that's what Berzon is here for. Because if you guys would learn this Mishnah, I mean, if Rabbi Meis is not here, I'm just saying, well, Rabbi Meis is absent. But if you would learn this Mishnah, you don't know where you're coming from. Because you need a little background. You never heard of chinuch. You don't know what chinuch is all about. You read this Mishnah, you think, you know what? I'm going to tell my child to fast a couple hours, you know, what's called the 10th of Tishrei on Yom Kippur. And I was carrying the mitzvah of chinuch. Don't fool yourself. That's not true. What we're seeing here is a new concept called Kedei Lahargilo B'mitzvahs. And you know what? I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking out loud here, I hope you don't mind, but just thoughts are flooding my mind now. That there's something called Kedusha. Kedusha means a life of sanctity. You can't expect a child overnight when he does bar mitzvah to enter into a world, a life of sanctity. The Torah says, Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani. I would say that maybe, just maybe, again, don't kill me for this. You're the jury, but don't shoot me down immediately. Like, let me breathe a little. That maybe this mission could be a source for another halach. That when it comes to inyone kedusha and sanctity, I have to begin to train my child when the child is younger. Don't call it chinuch. Don't call it chinuch. It's not chinuch. It's kedei lahargilon b'mitzvos. A child has to know that there are certain things that we, as Jews, we don't do. Certain places we don't go to, and things that we're not allowed to look at, and speech that we're not allowed to speak. And maybe at the time when Nazirus was popular, maybe there's even an inyan of bringing him into Kedusha, to sanctity, so he knows that we don't overindulge in wine and so forth. This whole gamut of Jewish behavior, of Kedusha, of sanctity, Kedei Lahargilo, let's make him rugged.
It can also be broken up into two parts.
Chinuch can be broken up into the concept of chinuch totally, and hargilo is getting ready for chinuch.
So maybe.
Okay, so you want to call it chinuch? I call it kedei hargilo mitzvahs.
No,
at this point, I don't know if there's an afkamina between you.
I say maybe chinuch can be two hargilo.
Well, I can't have two people at once. I'm sorry. Yeah, good.
So maybe chinuch can be for the hargilo mitzvahs.
Chinuch can be.
Can be for.
You mean in terms of the Takanas Chachomim?
Yeah,
you're talking about chronologically?
When the kid
chronologically, I would say, or at least conceptually, first came Chinuch, and then came Kedei L'Hargilo B'Mitzvahs.
Right.
But I think Amram's right. They are closely aligned to each other. But technically, this is not Chinuch.
When the kid is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you tell him on Yom Kippur, we don't eat.
Okay, but that's Kedei L'Hargilo B'Mitzvahs. That's Kedusha. I'll tell you the truth. If I would say to my 10-year-old son, who has no clue what Nanuim is about, to shake the Dalet Minim, I don't know if he should be making a bracha on that. That's not Chinuch. The Mishnah, the Brice, excuse me, in Sukkah says, Hayodeh L'Nanea, L'Nanea Luav. That's the Shir of Chinuch. That's the age. Before that, you want to get him used to it? That's wonderful. Create an ambiance. You know, you can't just jump overnight. But don't call that Chinuch. Chinuch is an absolute chiyuv. It's obligatory. And it's very specific. Chinuch tells me that in this mitzvah I have to be mechanechim at this age, in this mitzvah at that age. For example, I don't know, again, don't, I'm just throwing out, you know, just because I like to be open-minded, but I'm thinking about the mitzvah of matzah on Leil HaPesach. So you'll tell me my 3-year-old son can eat matzah. Good, that's not chinuch. You want to be margil him? Wonderful.
So you've remarked.
Be margil him. That's wonderful. Exactly. But that's not what the Chachom established. Chachomim established certain gedarim. You know, it's not just a hefkerveld. You know, we're very yekish about it. You know, there are certain, very British about it. You know, there's certain rules and regulations. You know, the structures. These are legal, legislated laws. Takonas Chachomim. And now we're learning something about hergil v'mitzvahs. When? At what point? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lifnei shana shehismucha lepirkan. Pirkan havi ben shloshesrei linekeva varbasrei lezochar shederch tinokos lahavi shtei saros b'shtemesrei v'yom Echad, Haina Vitok, Shnas Yud Gimel, Vihi Pirkon Leonshim, Vitino Yud Gimel, Yom Echad, Nimtza Shnas Yud Dal Pirkon Leonshim, Ushnas Yud Gimel, Shona Hasmucha Le Pirkon, Ushnas Yud Beis, Hishona Lifnei Shona Hasmucha Le Pirkon, O Lifnei Shteishonim, Shehi Lifnei Shteishonim, Samuch Le Pirkon, Dainu, Sholoshonim Lifnei Pirkon.
Okay.
So I read a lot of Rashi's here, and I'm sure it flew over your head just as it did over my head. But let me try to give what I think is the pshat in Rashi. Rashi says that there's a concept called pirkan. Okay, underline that word pirkan. We'll have to figure out what that means. And then there's another concept called samuch lepirkan. That's another thing you should write down or underline.
Yeah.
And then there's something called a year before Samach Lepirkon, and then there's 2 years before Samach Lepirkon. Okay? So let's see what each of these concepts mean. Pirkon is the age in which a child has shtei saros, which means pubic hairs, right? Now, and according to Chazal, a boy is expected, or halachically, capable of having shtei saros after he hits bar mitzvah. So in essence, what year of his life is he into?
14.
He's into his 14th year. So that's called pirkan. Okay? Then there's a year called samach lepirkan. Samach lepirkan means that last year before pirkan, which means when he's 12 going into his 13th year. Okay, now the Mishnah says you add another year, or perhaps even 2 years, before the year that Samach Lepirkon, which means already at the age of 11, if you go back 1 year, 10, we already have this halacha of what we called Shos, right? So let's read the Rashi again inside. Rashi says, Lifnei shana shehi samach lepirkon, right? We're talking about 1 year before samach lepirkon, so we have to figure out what pirkon is and what samach lepirkon is. Pirkon havi ben shloshes, right? In other words, until he's 13, he's not called pirkon. Pirkon means when he's capable of having shtei saros. Again, whatever saros he has before Pirkon is not halachically called saros. The Gemara calls that a mesechta nida shumar, whatever that means. You know, some hairs on his body, you know, the little fuzz, you know, peach fuzz. But that's not called saros. Halachically, shtei saros is only after he reaches the age of 13. So that's called saros. So samach lepirkon means 1 year before he reaches the age of 13. Or in the case of an akeva, he says the following. So again, Pirkon Avi Ben Shloshesrei Linekeva Varbasrei Lizachar. Don't be fooled by this. What Rashi means is the 13th year of her life means after she hits her 12th birthday in the case of a girl, and the 14th year of his life meaning in the case of a boy after he hits the birthday of 13. Shederech Atinokos Lahavi Shtei Saros B'Shtemesrei V'Yom Echad in the case of a girl. She's already into her 13th year. V'hi pirka, and that's considered pirka, meaning her maturity, la'onshin. In other words, if she violates any avera after she hits the 12th birthday, where she's already into her 13th year, she will duly punished for that. V'tinok, in the case of a boy, he's 13 in 1 day. That means he's already stepped into his 14th year, which is called Shnas Yudalid. That's called Pirkal Onshim. He's already called Pirkal Onshim when he's made that 1 day lunge or plunge into the 14th year. Ushnas Yud Gimel, and once he's hit 12 and now he's in the 13th year of his life, he's Shana Hasmucha LePirko. That's the year before Pirkon. Smucha means close to Pirkon. Ushnas Yud Beis, and now we're getting to our Mishnah. All this was an introduction to our Mishnah, says Rashi. And what does it mean, Lifnei Shana, in our Mishnah, that already a year before that, we train him to abstain from eating and drinking? That's Shnas Yud Beis, that's his 12th year, which means he's already celebrated what birthday? 11th. The 11th birthday. He's Shana, Lifnei Shana, Smucha LePirkon. Okay, so there's a concept called Pirkon, there's a concept called Shana Smucha LePirkon. Our Mishnah, says Rashi, is adding a Shana Lifnei Shana HaSmucha LePirkon. So for some reason, Rashi assumes up front, even before we get to our Mishnah, that there's some halachic significance to what? To Shana HaSmucha LePirkon. Yeah, even before we get to our Mishnah, we didn't look at our Mishnah. Shana HaSmucha LePirkon is certainly some level of responsibility that's incumbent on the katan. He's no longer a full-fledged katan. He's not a full-fledged gadol. He's not mature. He's still a minor. But nevertheless, he's already, shall we say, a quasi-major. You know, he's, how would you say a major in English? An adult, I guess. He's already a quasi-adult. He's responsible to some extent for his act. We don't know yet where Rashi is drawing this from, but Rashi has some source that the Shana Smucha LePirkon already, even before this Mishnah, has some sort of halachic significance and level of responsibility. Our Mishnah, by saying Lifnei Shana, a year before that, Lifnei Shana what? Lifnei Shana before what? Says Rashi, Lifnei Shana means a year before the Shana Smucha LePirkon, which is the last year before his bar mitzvah. So we're adding a year before that. We're talking about an 11-year-old child, correct?
But he just passed 10th birthday,
that is
11th year, right?
He's passed his 10th birthday. He commemorated his 10th birthday. Happy birthday. Now he's into his 11th year. He's already 1 year before Smucha LePirkon, because when he gets to his 13th year, which means his 12th birthday, and he enters into his 13th year, he's in the year called Smucha LePirkon, which we know even before this Mishnah is obviously a level of responsibility that's such that it would definitely entail his abstaining from eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah says we already have to train him 1 year earlier when he hits his 10th birthday and goes into his 11th year. Olifnei shtei shanim. Let's look at the next Rashi. Shehi lifnei shtei shanim samach lepirka dahainu shalosh shanim lifnei pirkon. Correct, we already had a year before the Pirkon, which was before our Mishnah. That was general knowledge from somewhere. Now we have the Mishnah adding another year before Pirkon. That's 2 years before Pirkon, which means the boy is into his 12th year, which means into his 11th year, which means he's already hit his 10th birthday. And now the Mishnah is adding Shteish on him 2 years before Pirkon. If Samach LePirkon is when he hits the birthday of 12, and a year before Samach LePirkon is when he hits the birthday of 11, then Shteish on him Lifnei Pirkon would mean when he hits the birthday of 10. The Gemara is going to ask the question, well, if you've already told me that you should train him 3 years before his bar mitzvah, means after he hits his 10th birthday, then why didn't you have to tell me after he reaches his 11th birthday? I mean, that seems to be totally superfluous and unnecessary. And the Gemara is going to talk about different maturity of children, and there are some children who are more mature at that age and some are less, and we'll get into that in Mirtz Hashem later on. So, Rabbosai, let me just quiz you here. At what point could we possibly be obligated in training our daughters to fast a few hours before? At the age of 9, correct. She's hit her 9th birthday, she's into her 10th year, that would be 3 years before Pirkon, because Pirkon in the case of a girl would be when she hits the 12th birthday and goes into her 13th. Samach Lepirko was when she hits her 11th birthday and goes into her 12th year. We have 1 year before Samach Lepirko is when she hits the 10th birthday and goes into 11th year. Now Shteishanim, 2 years before Samach Lepirko, means she's hit her 9th birthday and she is now 2 years before Bas Mitzvah, and therefore we should train her, if she's ready for it, to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, excuse me. Okay, so now what I wanted to share with you at this point is a point over here that I saw. Just one second. I'm sorry, I have certain notes in the back that you don't have, but some of them I wanted to call to your attention because they're pretty fascinating. The Tosefes Yom HaKippurim that we mentioned earlier, his name was Ibn Khabib. He wants to know, does this mission apply to other fast days, or is it only limited to Yom Kippur? That's a fascinating question. He says, why did the Mishnah say be Yom HaKippurim? Why did the Mishnah say B'tainios, some sort of more generic term that would include all the fast days? So he says the following. Wow, this is unreal. He is suggesting, even Tisha B'Av, he's saying that since Tisha B'Av is not on the same level as Yom Kippur is Doraisa, Tisha B'Av is Darabonon, the Chachamim never required even this unique chinuch that we're talking about, which is a subset, it's a secondary kind of chinuch, chinuch l'shavs, l'hargila v'mitzvahs, even that applies only to Yom HaKippurim. He's really worried about the health of the child. The Chain Nira, he has a raya, he proves, he invokes a proof from Psachim, a Gemara Psachim. And the Gemara Pesachim says the following: Dorash Rava. Rava gave a whole drasha, and he said, "Ubros umeinikos." That means pregnant women and nursing women. Misanos umashlimos b'Tisha B'Av. They should fast on Tisha B'Av. Mashma dafka ubros v'tinokos. In the Gemara Pesachim, on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Rava gives a drasha that pregnant women and nursing women should fast on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av. Thanks, George. Aval Tinokos, lo, but there's no mention of Tinokos. Why didn't the Gemara in Psachim, which is addressing Tisha B'Av, mention a word, some sort of footnote about Tinokos? No mention of Tinokos. He says, V'chein nirim midivrei haposkim. This is not just the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Shalo his kiru chinuch lehatinokos leTisha B'Av. There's no mention of the laws of Tisha B'Av of chinuch. V'kein kosov harama mipanoa. He was a Jew who lived in Italy a couple of centuries back. The chinuch shows b'shar tzomos lo mitzad hadin. You want to do it, but it's not halachically obligatory. The obligation is only to mechanech shows with regard to whom? With regard to Yom Kippur. The Kosav, let me just finish this up, Amram, because I want to just make sure we have the whole picture. The Afim Yimtza Posek says that Tosef Yom Kippur, you'll find some sort of far-flung Posek. You know, I'm thinking here, you know, Ravad Yosef, if you ever read his Chuvus, he always finds someone who said something, you know, some rabbi in Pachuch somewhere, you know, from a few centuries ago. Sheyomar, and this Posek will say, again, we don't know if this Posek exists, the Mechanchin Osam L'Shos Afil L'Tisha B'Av, Yesh Lomar, I would have to say, Lekach Nokratana Yom HaKippurim. Then, according to that posek, if Tisha B'Av also has a halacha of Chinuch L'Shos, so why does our Mishnah mention Yom Kippur? Why didn't you just mention tinyos? Lashmienu chiddush. The Mishnah wants to tell you chiddush. The tinokos shalohi gil lechinuch ein ma'anan osan afilu biyom kippur. In other words, let's say a boy at the age of 9, a girl at the age of 8. Then, if they're not up to the level of chinuch l'shos, because they're not mature enough. Again, we said it's either 1 year or 2 years before the year of samach l'pirkon, but not before that. Is ein ma'anan osan? Then there's no possibility even of having them fast l'shos, even though it's Yom Kippur. The Mishnah wants to tell you a chiddush in Yom Kippur. In the case of all tinyos, there may be a concept of chinuch shos, but the chiddush of Yom Kippur is that although there may be a chinuch l'shos in all fast days, but not before higi l'chinuch, not before the ages that are specified by our Mishnah. We'll see the Gemara is going to understand and analyze this. But in the case of Yom Kippur, the one Mishnah wants to tell you, you might think that Yom Kippur is so, you know, it's such a holy roller, you know, talking about the rice or the chivkaris and so forth. Let's allow the children to start earlier than the age of 9 or the age of 8. No, that we're not going to allow them to. So again, I open this question as to whether or not this chinuch l'shos in other fasts. Haram, go ahead. You want to speak?
I want to say this. So, I mean, I have kids. My kids are older now. But if you don't make them practice for these fasts before, how do you get to that point?
So again, it's a good thing to do, but the halacha doesn't require it.
So if the kid, but if he gets to 14 and he can't fast, but I don't require him to do it when he's 13. 12 going on 13, then get to 14. I have one kid who can't fast at all.
Okay.
So if I didn't push
I'm just presenting the material to you. I'm just saying that that's what it is. Okay?
Sorry.
So I'm just going to keep you another 3 minutes, 5 minutes the max. Jeremy has to go. But just look at the Gemara. Hashta b'fnei shtayim. If the Mishnah has already said that 2 years before the age of Samach l'Pirkon, you have a chiyuv of chinuch, l'shos, mechanchin, lehu, that you have to train him already from the age of what? Of the age of 11, correct?
Right.
No, I'm sorry. The age of 10, I got confused. Is then bifnei shana miboy? Miboy means, did it have to tell you that? Miboy is one of those words that appears throughout Shas. You can die to learn that. Yeah. I brought in, by the way, if anyone wants to see Dr. Frank's dictionary, it's called the Practical Talmudic Dictionary. It's a marvelous piece of work. And I can promise you that this word miboy would be in that dictionary. The lovely thing about Dr. Frank is he takes those key words and shots that are part of the logical structure of the Gemara, and he gives you not only a translation, but he gives you like an example of where it applies to a piece of logic. I have it here if you want to see it. It's just a wonderful piece of work. The man worked on this. It's a fact, I happen to know him. He worked on it for 13 years.
Wow.
I mean, it's really his life's work. It's a tremendous piece of research. So anyway, so miboy means, do I need it? Meaning, you need to tell me that 1 year before Samach l'Pirkon, at the age of 11, he has to be trained. You've already told me he has to be trained 2 years before Samach l'Pirkon, which means at the age of 10. Amar Rav Chisda lo kasha. And here we have to be very careful about reading this Gemara, because you can't take this Gemara literally. The Gemara says lo kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha bechole, ha bibari. Which literally sounds like the Gemara is talking about a sick child. So Rashi already tells you, don't get mistaken here. Chole here means something else. Kachush. Kachush means he's a weak. What word am I looking at? It's a weak company. Not composition. What word am I looking for?
Constitution.
Excellent. He has a weak constitution. He's weak. You know, some children at the age of 10, you know, they're already boxing. You know, they're powerful guys. Other children, okay, you know, 10-year-olds. What do you expect from them? They're mostly bones. You know what I'm saying? Very little flesh on the body. So he's a kachush. Rashi says a kachush. Like for example, Hilchos Karbonos. You have two types of karbonos. There's a behema bria, you know, a healthy gesunta animal, an ox, you know, and there's a kusha. You know, a weak little animal that just slept so long, you know, it's been dieting or fast, I don't know what, but it's just a nemach, a kachush. So the Gemara says that Zekei Limeavei, we want to enhance the carbon, you know, that's where Kayin messed up a little bit, if you remember. So we want to bring the best carbon that we can, so don't bring a kusha, bring a shmena, you know. Here too, you have a child who's not that healthy, his constitution is somewhat weak. Okay, he's 10 years old, but he's an No, he's a squiggly, squirmy 10-year-old. You know, I remember when I was 10 years old, man, those bullies used to beat the daylights out of me, you know, because I...
From Brooklyn.
Yeah, I came from Brooklyn. You know, there, if you weren't, you know, the Italians, they were rough. They roughed you up. So if you have a son who's 10 years old, then he's kachush. So then wait another year. Push it off till he's 11. And Rashi adds another phrase here, Tashush Koach.
Yes, he's
an Ebesh, he's weak. So in that case, you know, it's basically what Rav Chisda wants to say is the Mishnah went out of its way to tell you that there's no absolute rule here, that there's something that's relative and subjective with regard to Chinuch L'shos. You got to know your child. And if he's ready at the age of 10, wonderful. But if he's not ready at age 10, push it off to the age of 11. I'd like to derive another conclusion that maybe he's not ready at the age of 11. Maybe we have to wait till he's 12. I don't know. Amar Rav Huna. Ben Ches u Ben Tes mechanchin oso l'shos. Ben Yud u Ben Yud Aleph mashlimim midrabanon. Ben Yud Beis mashlinin midoraisa bitinokes. So let me try to read to you what I think is a simple pshat in Rav Huna. Rav Huna says the following. Ben Shmona v'yom Echad, we're talking about a girl who's already 8 years old, correct? So she's 8 years old. She's going into her ninth year. She's not yet, right? She's going to her ninth year. Let's just calculate it. What do we say? We said before, Rav Huna, that we have to wait. There's Samach LePirkon, which means she's 11 years old. There's a year before, that means she's 10 years old. A year before, 9. Now he's adding the 8th year. This is a whole new pshat. We didn't see this yet. So we're talking about 4 years before Samach LePirkon. And he's talking about a girl who's...
3 years Samach LePirkon.
I'm saying it's 4 years before Pirkon, what I meant to say. Okay. So it's 4 years before Pirkon. Right before her 13th year, meaning she's 12. So she's 8 years old. She's a very healthy girl. And Ben Tesha, in the case of a boy, he's 9. Again, this is already 4 years before Pirkon. We didn't see this in the Mishnah. And yet, Machan Chano Sam L'shah, says Rav Huna, the boy is 9 years old, plus 1 day, and we're going to already train him to fast. Why? So Rashi explains, because if this girl... Is used to eating? Maybe she's already used to waiting at that time period. I don't know. In any event, let's go on and see the whole picture of Huna. Ben Eser. Let's say this girl is a healthy girl and she's 10. Ben Achatisre, or the boy is healthy and he's 11. Mashlimim midrabana, whole new concept. Mashlimim is real chinuch. We should let him finish the entire fast. And not only that, not only he's 11 years old, we're going to let him finish the fast. Ben Shtemesre, if he's already 12 years old, Mashlimim midoraisa, on a Torah level he has to fast. The Torah requires him to fast at the age of 12. This is mind-boggling. Rabosa, we never found any mitzvah that the Torah requires you to fulfill at the age of 12.
When you're not chiyuv, bar chiyuv yet.
Correct, but apparently in Yom Kippur you're considered bar chiyuv doraisa according to Rav Huna. From the age of 12, a year before your bar mitzvah, Mimela, the whole Mishnah moves back a year. It goes backwards, if you follow what I mean. We were assuming that there's no chiyuv doraisa to fast until you're a boy 13 going into his 14th year. And therefore we calculated Samach LePirkon means he's 12 going into his 13th year. 1 year before that he's 11 going into his 12th year. And 2 years before that he's 10 going into his 11th year. Right? But we never thought a 9-year-old. But once you push everything back, because it means that already at the age of 12 he has to fast according to Torah law, again we don't know why, then everything gets pushed back, so you end up with a 9-year-old boy who's going to be mechanchim l'shos. When he reaches the age of 12, he has to complete the entire fast because he's chayav d'oraisa. So in the case of a girl, she has to complete mid-oraisa at the age of 11, a year before, and everything goes back until she's an 8-year-old girl and she already has to v'machanchem l'shamas. So this is mind-boggling. Tomorrow, b'li neder, we'll have to really plow through this. If you're still with me tomorrow, if you haven't given up hope with me, throw it in the towel. And we'll try to rack our brains and figure out how could Rav Huna possibly have a 12-year-old boy or an 11-year-old girl chayev in the mitzvah of Eidu v'yom ha-kippur min ha-Torah. Okay, then? So that will pick up tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Okay. If you bring the safer tomorrow, what time to make copies for
it? Yeah. I'll try to.
Is the machine fixed?
The machine will be fixed hopefully tomorrow, and then life will be a lot easier.
Right.
Hope so. Okay, then, so we accomplished a lot. We broke new ground here. We have a new concept, chinuch and chanchim l'shos, and now we have to work through the more nitty gritty details, a chola and a kachush and Rav Huna, chiyuv d'orais at the age of 12. That, b'li neder, will hopefully will be smarter tomorrow. And now you have to all pray for me and wish me luck on my shiur with the kol that I have to give at 11:30 today on a very complicated sugya of muktzah. Books on Shabbos. So pray for me, because these gentlemen are, you know. Then I like you guys. You know, you guys.